Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Never Too Late with Blake podcast, where you guys, the listeners, will join me on a journey with my guests. My aim with this podcast is to provide practical and useful information and tips to help you all on your self-improvement journey. So let's get started. Welcome back to the Never Too Late podcast, everyone. I thought I'd jump on today and do a little bit of another solo episode and talk about one of the books I've been reading lately called 4,000 Weeks, which by Oliver Berkman, which has been an interesting and quite an eye-opening read, talking about how basically in our lives we only really get, well, on average, the average lifespan is about 81, 82 years, which adds up to about 4,000 weeks. So when he asked the question to a lot of people, he did a survey on how many weeks people thought that we got in our lives. People were up around the 100,000 sort of total and not really sure. But when you put it into perspective at 4,000 weeks, it's actually not very long. But the way he sort of breaks it down, I'm only about halfway through, but there's so many things that I feel like I wanted to share today and that could help a lot of people in their lives and what they're doing at the moment is this sort of thought of embracing life, facing finitude. We never really have time and that you can only ever be in this present moment. And I think one thing that he puts so well is that we have to-do lists, and once we feel like we're more productive, we can fit more things on our to-do list, but we just become busier and busier and almost live away all that time that we could be doing on spending time with family, reading a great book, going for a walk. There's so many things that we could be doing and sort of living in the present moment and embracing our life in that moment that we do all these to-do lists, we become more efficient, we fill as much of our day as possible, and the time before we know it, there's weeks, months, years pass on. And I think we can all get into this, sort of fall into this trap of trying to be more efficient, trying to get more done, and almost in this wheel of, the mouse on the wheel trying to continue to run. So yeah, I don't know. I've just found it quite eye-opening in terms of thinking about time and that we don't really ever get a guaranteed amount of time or a set amount of time in our lives. And I think it's a thought maybe in a bit more of like Western society and even at the moment with, everyone sort of trying to achieve more and it's always like do, go, 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 that we should try and step back a little bit and just embrace that moment and enjoy that moment that we're in right at this time, that we can't be anywhere else, that we can put aside thinking about the past, thinking about the future, and become aware of what am I doing in this present moment and not just going through without really thinking about what you're doing and ticking things off a to-do list. And for me, one thing that's really helped is the meditation side of things. I've spoken about it before and I do it every morning for 10 to 15 minutes and listening to a few other podcasts and just doing a little bit more as I learn more about the meditation, that it could be something I add in at night as well and to start the day and finish the day. But it's had a profound impact on me and my self-awareness and the way I'm able to see my thoughts as a separate thing and allow them to come and go. And I think I've mentioned before, but I'll mention it again, I love the thought of our thoughts being like cars on the road. And if it's busy traffic or you've got a lot of thoughts going on, you don't run out onto the road and try and stop all the cars. You should sit on the side, allow your thoughts or the cars to pass through and just let that pass with time and just see them as an external thing and become aware of those thoughts. And I think that's really important. And a meditation practice is something that I have found has been really, really impactful and beneficial for me. And even I've had patches where I have dropped off for a few months and I notice it at the end that, I didn't realize how much at the time the meditation practice and the importance and the power that it had on me. Whereas now once I sort of went through that period where I didn't do it, I'm now like, no, I want to make this a staple. This is something that has a huge impact on me and that I want to continue to keep in my life. And so for me, it's something I do every morning, and it really just helps grow that self-awareness piece, be able to separate myself from my thoughts, and just come back to the breath and focus on the present moment. And I think obviously there's a lot of other benefits to meditation. I'd love to interview someone at some point about specifically meditation. I hope I will. So that's going down the path, down the pipeline. But yeah, meditation is a great way to be in the present moment. And then it sort of reflects on this book that I'm reading, and about the time that we don't really have an embracing this exact moment. And meditation is a great way to work on that, and the self-awareness piece. What's interesting on the finitude side of things is that, yes, we all have a finite amount of time on this earth, and it can be quite a confronting sort of thought to have, and it can be quite daunting, and often even myself and a lot of people, we push it aside as something we don't really want to think about. But in reading this book, I've sort of been able to digest it a little bit more and think a bit more about what it's trying to say and how I can use it to enjoy my time here, benefit other people, have fun, just live my life, and hopefully help others live their lives to the fullest capacity. So it's been quite a little bit confronting, but also I don't really want to put the book down. I want to keep reading about what he's talking about in the way about embracing your life. You are here in this moment. We never really have any time. It's not like you can say, oh, in 10 years' time, yes, we have plans, but we can't guarantee that that'll be here. So really just trying to live more in this present moment. And yeah, it's been quite eye-opening for me to think about that in my day-to-day life while I'm reading this book, but also while I'm out and about thinking, okay, like, how am I best using my time? Is it worth doing X, Y, Z and filling up my to-do list with things that might not, I guess, in the long run mean that much? So yeah, it's been really good. And another thing that I'd love to touch on, I heard this on another podcast, is if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. And I think it's awesome, because so many people are almost in this rat race of trying to get a promotion or just be busy all the time and do. And it's amazing that at the end of it, you're still a rat. And no matter if you win the rat race or what, you're still going to put your head on the pillow at night and you're still going to go to sleep, whether you do win the rat race or not. So I found that to be very interesting and a great little thing that I keep in my head here and there, of when I do feel like I'm getting too ahead of myself or running myself into the ground a little bit and not taking care of my mind and rest and my physical body, that yeah, if you win the rat race and that's what you're striving for, you're still a rat at the end of it. So I found that really powerful. And one thing that my mentor Alistair has sort of spoken to me a lot since I was maybe 16 or 17 years old, when I first met him, and all the way through in the last sort of 10 years, I guess, is controlling the controllables and what's in our control. And maybe at the time I didn't really understand it that much, but as I've grown older, it's really become something that sort of sits in my mind when I'm making decisions, or whenever something pops up that's sort of out of the blue, it's just coming back to what I can control and what's in our control. And that ties in nicely to this book in the same way, is like, we can always control something in a situation, whether it's just your mind. No one can ever take your mind away from you, or the ability to use that to your advantage. And whether that's through meditation, mindfulness, these sort of things, no one can ever take that away from you, no matter the situation that you're in. So that's always in our control. And often if we are maybe not at work or elsewhere, there's other things in our control that we can always use and I guess benefit from for our advantage. So yeah, just I guess using your mindfulness, your self-awareness to become aware of what's in your control, and what in any situation, how best can I I guess, think about it or control what I can think and react to. Another thing that I think is really important is creating a positive environment. And there's many ways to do that. And I think it's sort of a thing that I might dive into further down the track on another episode. But just at the start, I'll just go with this, creating a positive environment. And that comes tying this back into that 4,000 Weeks book as well, that we only have this moment and this time here, and we have a finite amount of time. We may as well create a really positive environment and something that we love to be in and really enjoy our time. That should be one of the main things that we should focus on and try and do. It's just like the people around you, your friends, your family, the support networks, maybe even at your workplace, wherever you can, trying to find positive people around you that are on a similar wavelength, have similar values, trying to do some things in your week that are enjoyable, that you love, whether they're hobbies or whether it's art or creative or whatever, that music, whatever that might be. That's all adding to the positive environment that you're in, and yeah, I guess allowing you to enjoy the human experience. So I think that's creating a positive environment is very powerful, and that all comes with time. But I think once you start becoming self-aware through the mindfulness piece, through the meditation, and yeah, just allowing your thoughts to come and go, you're able to then know more about yourself and then create an environment that you know is positive for you. I really wanted to touch on something I read, or actually heard of the other day, and have since read to a few people. It's got a profound message, and I found it really, really resonated with me, and I felt like I had to share it with you all. It's called the parable, or the story of the Mexican fisherman, and I'm actually going to read it out here, but gosh, if you haven't heard of it before, it's an amazing sort of little story about, I guess, be more with less and those sort of topics. I'll allow you guys to sort of listen and take out of it what you will, but it's something I've shared with a few people now, and it's really made a profound impact on me, and I feel like it'd be a great thing to share with you all. So I'm going to read it now, and then, I don't know, after, I'd love to hear what you think of it, and whether it's a private message on Instagram or wherever, a comment here or there. I love hearing from you all, and this is another great opportunity to hear what you think of this little parable that I really enjoy. So here we go. An American investment banker was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish and asked how long it took to catch them. The Mexican replied, "Only a little while." The American then asked why he didn't stay out longer and catch more fish. The Mexican said he had enough to support his family's immediate needs. The American then asked, "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The Mexican fisherman said, "I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take siestas with my wife, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine, and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life." The American scoffed, "I'm a Harvard MBA and could help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you would have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening your own cannery. You would control the product, processing, and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, and then LA, and eventually New York City, where you will run your expanding enterprise." The Mexican fisherman asked, "But how long will this all take?" To which the American replied, 15 to 20 years. "But then what?" asked the Mexican. The American laughed and said, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you would now announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions, then what?" The American said, "Then you would retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siestas with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip on wine and play guitar with your amigos. I just think that's such an awesome story and such a great way to put life, I guess, in some ways. Like, we're all striving for certain things. Each of us would all be different in some sort of way, but I just think it puts it in such a interesting and funny way about sometimes we are striving for so many things, but for what, I guess, cost, but then also for what purpose. And it can come back to doing some work on yourself and your values and who am I, and asking yourself some of these questions. But that will come when the time is right for you in your self-improvement journey. But I think the parable of the Mexican fisherman is definitely a must read for others if you haven't, and share it with some people, because I think at the end of it, tying this back into the 4,000 weeks book, we only have a certain amount of time on this earth, and we need to enjoy it and live a fulfilled life. And that's not to say that we can't have goals and aspirations of where we want to, of things we want to achieve and do in our life, but it's tying it in and just having a good balance in your life and focusing on family, friends, the people around you, your community, and how you can all enjoy your experience and have a positive experience all together, filled with, enjoyment, love, compassion, and a lot of these other things that are so valuable to all of us. So that parable of the Mexican fisherman is a great one. Just wanted to take a quick break and say that if you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you listen and subscribe, follow, and rate the podcast so I can continue to make content that you enjoy and can all stay up to date. Connect with my Instagram page, Never Too Late Podcast, and pass this on to a friend or family member that you think could benefit from listening. Thank you for all your support. I really appreciate it. Now, back to the episode. And one thing I also wanted to touch on from the book is, I've got a little excerpt here, which I think can be really interesting, and it's quite a good way to put it. And I'll just quickly read it out. Some Zen Buddhists hold that the entirety of human suffering can be boiled down to this effort to resist paying full attention to the way things are going because we wish they were going differently. This shouldn't be happening. Or because we wish we felt more in control of the process. There is a very down-to-earth kind of liberation in grasping that there are certain truths about being a limited human from which you'll never be liberated. You don't get to dictate the course of events, and the paradoxical reward for accepting reality's constraints is that they no longer feel so constraining. I think it's such a... I know I've spoken about control on this episode so far a little bit, but it's controlling what you can in your moment, in this moment. And I don't think... And I think sometimes we get that mixed up with trying to control the future and the future events and what's coming up. But in a way, we don't have any sort of control over those things, and we can't try and grasp onto them and try and control the process too much. And I think one thing is that throughout your life, a lot of things are going to come and go. Events are going to pop up that you don't expect, and life will throw you curveballs, I guess. But if you can, I guess, have the base of I think it's very important to have a mindfulness and meditation practice, grow that self-awareness, love and compassion towards yourself. When those moments pop up, you're able to deal with them a little bit better. But then also, you might be in a space to not try and control the future too much and, grasp onto how you want things to go, because as we know, life throws us curveballs with, I guess, even the COVID lockdowns a few years ago. We weren't to know that that was coming, and we have to adapt and grow and learn. And I think this book points it out in a great way, that we can't control the process in that way fully, but we have to sort of grasp that we have a limited time on this earth and that we should go with the flow and... sort of just embrace everything that comes our way and be in this present moment. It's all we ever have. And sort of just enjoying our experience here. So I hope you enjoyed that little I just thought I had to share some of those great things from the book, and the thought of if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. the parable of the Mexican fisherman, this book, The 4,000 Weeks. I think there's so many ways to sort of look at it and sort of take a step back from all that's going on around us, our big to-do lists, trying to squeeze more into our day. Sometimes we need to just schedule in 2 hours of me time or an hour of reading here and there or whatever it might be, going for a walk. But yeah, knowing that we only ever have this time and embrace it as much as we can, working on ourselves with our mindfulness, our meditation, our awareness, creating a positive environment around us, having gratitude for each and every moment, and yeah, just all growing together. And as I said in the chat, like, I really appreciate all the messages I get, and I welcome more and more, and always happy to read and receive messages, and I'll get back to you when I see them. And I appreciate the support, and it's helping me continue to do what I do and share these great episodes. So hope you're all enjoying the Never Too Late podcast. And I think one thing I'd love to sort of do at some point is create a bit of a, I don't know what it looks like, whether it's a group or a community sort of forum where people can all come together and chat about and sort of throw some ideas in, book ideas, podcast ideas, and have a space where we can all learn and grow together. So if anyone's got any ideas about that, I'd be more than happy to hear about it and would actually love to hear about it. So yeah, all the best, everyone, and look forward to seeing you all on the next episode. And in the meantime, remember, it's never too late.